married in Germany during the war and brought his bride back here. And at that time, his mother-in-law was living with him. And to say that she was a woman of Teutonic character somewhat begged the question. She was stern and lovely and a magnificent cook and a woman of great character. So we were playing, and I started playing this song. And I played just about that much, and she got up and left the room. The worst thing you can do when you're visiting in somebody's home is to offend the cook. And I figured I'd flat lost it right there. So when I finished, she came back in. She was very polite. She said, "Where did you learn that song?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, I learned it off a phonograph record." And she said, "That's a bad song." And I said, "Why is that?" It's called "Goodbye, My Bluebell." It's a patriotic song. And all the wives and the mothers used to sing this song to the soldier boys when they left to fight in the World War and World War I. And she said, "Well, I don't know what it was in your country, but in our country it is the marching song of the Earhart Brigade," which was apparently a precursor to the Nazi Party or something over there. And the people used to goose-step through the streets and sing this song. It's an old German folk song. And I don't know what moral there is there except to say that the song endures. It lives on. And there was a time when the soldiers in this country were being sent off to war with this song singing in their ears, and the soldiers from Germany were going into war with the same song as a marching song. So what can you say? It is a beautiful folk song, and I'd like to offer it to you. I heard it on a Merle Travis record. That's a Teutonic version.
Group hasn't arrived yet, so we're just going to step down and begin with Mary and Marshall Collins, a lovely couple who sing beautiful gospel. Marshall is a preacher. He's a craftsman. And Mary, in her way with her beautiful music, is a preacher too. So let's welcome Mary and Marshall Collins from Mount Dora. doesn't like look like there's anybody listening, but they are. See, they're backed up there in the shade.
It's a pleasure to be here today. It's a song that's on my heart because many times in this life we have had trials and tribulations, but we always have believed that the storm is passing over and that everything will be all right. The name of the song we're going to sing is "The Storm is Passing Over." Hallelujah. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there is a place called heaven, And I believe that we who live right and please the Lord, one day we're going to that city of gold. And the name of the song, City of Gold, I am going to a city where the roses never fade. To me would be quite dull if I didn't have a hope and belief that one day we're going to a city where the roses will never fade. The next song we're going to sing is a song that talks of heaven And I really believe that if we believe that there's a heaven, there's nothing wrong with talking about it and singing about it. And the scripture says that we're going to have a mansion. And the words of the song is, build my mansion next door to Jesus.
My man.
Well, that's all right. We're just having a real good... Okay. Well, yeah, I will. I'll just step right up there. Huh?
Go ahead. You're on.
I am? We need the Godby folk singers down here. She pushed me on the stage, and I'm kind of thinking in my mind, I have so many little stories up here that I love to tell. I was trying to decide which one. I cut a piece out of the paper about the marvelous treasure find that they have found down there in the wreck ships off Key West. I'm sure you all have read it. I'm not going into that. But I just want to point out that there are treasures to be found in unexpected places. And I'm thrilled that those men who have been working and spent so much money for such a long time, that's better, have hit the jackpot. But when I was a little girl, you know, I grew up in Gainesville. I had my third birthday in Gainesville. And I'll be more than sweet 16 this summer, so, you know, I've been around a long time. We had a neighbor who worked in a lumber camp, taking out the cedar and the cypress at a place on the Suwannee River called Fowler's Bluff. The little town's called Vista, still there, and it's just about big as a flea. Well, Mr. Dexter didn't get home much, and we wondered about a Mr. Dexter. We knew her, and then we found out why he wasn't home. It took him, a long time to get home because there weren't automobiles then much. He'd have to come part way on horseback and part way on the train, and then hoof it part of the way. But this time, when he was home, he told us this story. He said some years before his time, an old prospector stumbled into the lumber camp. He was broke, he was dirty, he was hungry, he was sick. And the men took him in because they had big hearts and plenty of victuals. They fed him, they cleaned him up, gave him medicine. And in return, he said, well, I haven't got much to give you, but let's look at this little map. So he took a little teeny map that had been folded and unfolded so many times that the creases were all broken. And he opened up the map and he said, now, if you'll pinpoint this place right here at Fowler's Bluff and dig, you'll find a treasure. And I need to tell you that down on that part of the Suwannee River, the banks are very high. And it's not long before the Suwannee River goes on into the Gulf in many fingers. Well, some of the men who heard this, you know, and saw the map just poo-pooed, said, oh, I don't believe in stuff like that. But a little handful of them, and I wish I knew how many, said, oh, well, we haven't got anything to lose. We have time before dark after we knock off work and have our supper. Let's find this place. Let's dig. So that's what they did. And, oh, you know, of course, that they ran into all kinds of trouble. They ran into quicksand. And as the hole got deeper, And they had to bail out that water from the quicksand. Rocks would fall in there, and they'd have to get them out the best way they could. They kept a team of mules standing by, and the hole got deeper and deeper, and every now and then they'd sound down in there with a big old long pole, and when they hit nothing but slushies and mushies, why, they dig some more, the other men, you know, to just stand around and laugh at them for working so hard for nothing. Well, one fine night, just before dark, they sounded with the sounding pole down in the deep, deep hole, and they struck metal. Well, my, they were excited. They put a guard on the hole overnight. And the next afternoon, after work, they didn't even wait to get the supper. They came down with a team of mules and chains and grappling hooks. And one of the men rode the hooks down into the hole. And there was the box. And it had been in the hole so long that it was just like cemented in there. And he had to break it loose to get the hooks around. But get them around, he did. And the mules pulled up the box. And they eased it over onto dry land and took a prize pole and opened it up. And friends, Mr. Dexter said, the box was full of Spanish doubloons. Well, they divided the loot. And one man, whose name was Mr. E. Baird, came into Gainesville with his money in a suitcase and put it in the First National Bank. And with that money, that wonderful gold, he established Baird Hardware Company in Gainesville. Now, the wholesale part of that business is still in operation. The retail store is right where they put that hole in the ground in Gainesville, the plaza. But it was right there on the south side of the square, the east side of the square, for many, many years. And I've been in and out of the store many times. Well, the interesting part of this story is that it was finally researched back in the early 40s and written up in the Saturday Evening Post. And I'm lucky enough to have a copy of that story that I heard told in the oral tradition when I was a little girl. Anybody here from Gainesville? Anybody ever heard that story before? And, of course, some of the descendants of Mr. Baird don't really like for the story to be told. But they haven't got a copyright on it, so I just keep on telling it. Okay. Well, the dancers are finally ready. Let me get back over here to my stand. International folk dancers from down Sarasota way, led by Gene Whitehead, the folks dancing. Now, they've been coming to the Florida Folk Festival, Gene and Cubby, that is, and their children. And their children have literally grown up on this stage since about the third folk festival. And I think that's quite a record, because the festival is 28 years old this year. Let's welcome the folks dancing.
Besides the folks dancing, we have the Tampa Festival folk dancers from Tampa and representation from the Orlando International Dancers. And this afternoon, we're going to do three German dances for you. The first two are mill dances, but they're very different. The first one is Lunenburger Woodmiller, the second one, De Mühle. And then our final dance will be a Schuhplattler. Thank you.
Well, without more ado, I'd like to tell you that some certain brothers who are now on the program shrunk from 4 to 3, but they're still going strong. We were afraid that they were going to fold up, but they haven't, and they are here, and we are anxious to hear the Peyton brothers from Jacksonville.
We got sound, I guess. Yeah. Good afternoon. I hope all of you are continuing to enjoy yourselves out here. It's Monday. Monday afternoons are always kind of strange here at the Folk Festival. Everybody, especially us, probably getting a little bit weary after a few days of it, but still having a good time. And we want to say before we start playing that, as usual, this I think is our fourth Florida Folk Festival. We've had a fantastic time and enjoyed not only playing and enjoying hearing other groups perform, but it's like a big reunion every year. We get to see people that we only see once a year, and it's been great seeing all you folks and all the friends that we've found here at White Springs, and we're sure looking forward to being here again next year. We're going to play a little, I don't know what. We're going to do a lot of different things this go around. Do some bluegrass songs and some other things that kind of defy description. We're going to start out with a song by one of the Monkees. Those of you who remember the group the Monkees, Michael Nesmith of that band wrote this tune called Some of Shelley's Blues.
Tell me again, but don't think you'll convince me. You said if I'm falling in love again, you'd rather be dead. When someone breaks your heart, you cry your eyes red. There's nothing so hard about the life that you've led. As far as I can see, there's no reason for goodbye. You're just running scared, and that's something I won't buy. Nothing to show but more blues. All this talk about leaving is strictly bad news. So you settle down and stay with the boy that loves you. As far as I can see, there's no reason for goodbye. You're just running scared, and that's something I won't buy. So you lose, I won't let you go. There's nothing to show but more blues. All this talk about leaving is strictly bad news. So you settle down and stay with the boy that loves you. You settle down and stay with the boy that loves you. You settle down and stay with the boy that loves you.
Thank you.
Thank you. One thing I've not heard a lot of this weekend is some country flat picking. I don't know. Maybe I've just missed it. But we thought during this show we'd let our younger brother Lee over here try a little flat picking for you. It's good old hand clapping, foot stomping country music. Song called Down Yonder. Y'all help us out and clap your hands on this one if you would. Too many. That wasn't a bad effort.
My fingers haven't woke up today.
This is, we mentioned in our workshop a little while ago, one of the great things about the Folk Festival is the jam sessions and sing-alongs that we have in the campgrounds and the wee hours of the morning. We had a real good one last night. Went on till about 6:30 this morning, so we've been at it for a while.
We're tired, to say the least. Oh, we're going to do a song now, though, that's by a guy that's becoming pretty popular in the folk business. He's one of the best songwriters to come along in a while. He writes a lot of strange things, though. His name is John Prine. Now, we're going to do a song now that we can relate to. We've just built a house. We took the month of March off and built a little place. It was kind of tough because we'd never done that kind of work before and did it all ourselves and just kind of learned the hard way. So from that experience, I've become a master carpenter.
Oh, no. One house, and he's a master carpenter.
Hey, some people learn it quick. Anyway,
and
I'd like...
He was doing all right till he built the front porch and it didn't match the poles that were supposed to hold it up, so they... I only missed by a couple of feet, though.
Well, crowbar and a pickup truck cured that, so that's, that was the only major mistake. But when I get to be an old geezer and have my little grandchildren around, I'd like them to know me not as a wonderful, lover of the banjo. I'd like them to know me as a carpenter, and that's what this song is. Grandpa was a carpenter. Grandpa wore his suit to dinner almost every day. No particular reason, he just dressed that way. Brown necktie, matching vest, and both his wingtip shoes. Built a closet on our back porch, put a penny in a burned-out fuse. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks.
chain-smoked camel cigarettes, hammered nails and planks. He was level on the level, shaped even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, 'cause Lincoln won the war. Well, he used to sing me Blood on the Saddle and rock me on his knee and let me listen to the radio before we got TV. And he'd drive to church on Sunday and he'd take me with him too. Stained glass in every window, hearing aids in every pew. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked camel cigarettes, hammered nails and planks. He was level on the level, shaped even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, 'cause Lincoln won the war. Teacher. She went to school at Bowling Green, traded in her milking cow for a Singer sewing machine. And she called her husband Mister, and she walked real tall in pride, and used to buy me comic books after Grandpa died. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain-smoked camel cigarettes, hammered nails and planks. He was level on the level, shaped even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, 'cause Lincoln won the war.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'd like to do at least one song during this show that's one of the old bluegrass favorites. Now, there are half a dozen or maybe 10 songs in bluegrass music that all audiences seem to have heard. Rocky Top probably at the top of the list, and Dueling Banjos, and Foggy Mountain, and Rollin' My Sweet Baby's Arms, and several others. One of the biggies, though, is one written by a brother act, Zeke and Wiley Morris out of North Carolina. Anybody here ever heard Zeke and Wiley Morris? I didn't think so.
I'll have to explain who they are. Zeke and Wiley are two brothers from North Carolina. I think they've retired from the music business now. They recorded this song back in the 30s. Now, it is definitely a classic in bluegrass music. And we heard a story on how they wrote this, and I thought it was rather interesting. They said they were snowed in North Carolina for 3 days in a little bar somewhere up there with nothing to drink but beer and nothing to eat but what they called pickled weenies. Now, that's those little red sausages that are in those big jars of formaldehyde in most little country stores and stuff. I'm sure you've eaten one or two. Well, they ate 3 days worth of those and decided that was songwriting material. So, to get the title of the song, they took the jar and turned it around and read the label. The label said Salty Dog on it. And from that came a classic bluegrass love song. Now, I'm sure the question's going through your mind already, how'd they get a love song out of that? Well, if you put the story with the title, one of the lines in the song is, "Let me be your salty dog." That's just like saying, "Let me be your pickled weenie." I'm not sure what that means, but makes for a good love song, I guess. It's called the Salty Dog Blues.
I stand on the corner of the lowdown blues, great big hole in the bottom of my shoes. Honey, let me be a salty dog. Let me be a salty dog, or I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be a salty dog. Well, here, Sal, I know you. You run down stocks, you wear out shoes. Honey, let me be a salty dog.
Let me be a salty dog, or I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be a salty dog. Down in Wawa, sitting on a log, finger on trigger, and I wanna hug. Honey, let me be a salty dog. Let me be a salty dog, or I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be a salty dog. I pull the trigger and the gun went blam. I got splattered by bits of ham. Honey, let me be a salty dog. Let me be a salty dog, or I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be a salty dog. Salty dog, or I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be a salty dog.
Thank you.
Thank you. We had a request a little bit earlier today, and we promised we'd get to this one during our show here. And it is one of our all-time favorite love songs. This is a real love song, not quite like the Salty Dog Blues. One written by John Stewart. That thing too. And I don't know how Michael does it. That's but we don't let him talk too much. For one thing, he tends to he gets dirty on us when we let him talk, so we keep him quiet as much as possible. But he has this unique knack for whenever he opens his mouth, his banjo goes out of tune. I don't know how the two tie together, but somehow whenever he talks, he loses that tuning. So I have to give him a minute to get it back together.
Close enough for this crowd, anyway.
Sitting here beside me and I'm drunk out of my mind. Hear it from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as a saint of San Joaquin. And I just as soon right now pull on over to the side of the road. And I'll show you what I mean. More than anyone I've ever known. July, you're a woman. More than anyone I've ever known. And I can keep my eyes on the white line out before me when your hand is on my collar and you talk into my ear. And I have been around a gypsy girl named Shannon, daughter of the devil. Ain't it strange that I should mention that to you? I haven't got a hurry in here. July, you're a woman, more than anyone I've ever known. I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting here beside me and I'm drunk out of my mind, merely from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as a saint of San Joaquin, and I just as soon right now pull on over to the side of the road, and I'll show you what I mean.
woman more than anyone I've ever known. July, you're a woman more than anyone I've ever known. July, you're a woman more than anyone I've ever known.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got time for about one more. We're going to have to make room for some other performers. Again, we'd like to say thanks for being a part of a good experience for us this weekend, another good Florida Folk Festival. We hope to see all of you next year. I want to, Ken, make a plug, too. We're going to be, as we have been for the last 3 years, I guess, playing all summer at Silver Springs over near Ocala. So if you're traveling around this summer and want to take the family somewhere, come see us over there. We'll be doing 5 shows daily, every day but Friday, starting, I think, June 24th through the 1st of September. So come see us, if you would. Or if you're into traveling, we'll be in northern Michigan prior to that. So come on up and pay us a visit up there. Lee did a song the other day in the workshop by request, and this is another of the old standards. And we said at that time we'd have to do it sometime again during the weekend because he broke a string right in the middle of it and forgot his place and ruined the entire song. So we're going to give him another chance to do this one right.
Boy, just throw all the blame on me.
Yes, sir. He really blew it on that last attempt. So we'll let him try to make up for it. He's going to play a little mandolin piece here. It was originally done with a fiddle. Song by Irvin T. Rouse.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You see, this is what a folk festival is all about. Friends gathering and chewing the fat, and shooting the breeze, and swapping songs, and staying up all hours, and getting rained on, getting mosquito bit, and all these things, telling tales, catching up, that's what a folk festival is. Eating good vittles, yum, yum. Let's welcome a great performer. Larry Slavin from Miami Beach. He's a very, very versatile musician. You wonder how he learned so much in such a short time, because he plays practically everything. Let's clap him onto the stage with his next load here. Larry Slavin. He's one of our favorite people. Don't tell him, though, his head might swell.
Good afternoon. I'm going to start off with an old Bascom Lamar Lunsford tune. Anyone familiar with him, who he was?
Yeah, I do.
Well, of course. Well, I'm going to play one of his tunes called "I Wish I Was a Mole in the Ground." Start off kind of bluesy for you, and then we'll work up a sweat. Switch to the Appalachian Mountain Dulcimer now.
The song is about marriage. I want to not dedicate it to a couple of friends who are here, Fletcher and his wife. I don't know if they're out there, but today is their 34th wedding anniversary. So this ain't for you, okay? This is called Rain and Snow. No longer.